Welcome to Star Trek Comic Book Review. Our several-year mission will be to boldly go where no podcast has gone before. We will be reviewing every Star Trek comic book ever published. These stories have been released by Gold Key, Marvel, DC, Malibu, Wildstorm, Tokyo Press, IDW, and others. Star Trek and all that the Star Trek universe contains is copyrighted by CBS Studios, Inc.
Hello and welcome to Star Trek Comic Book Review with Donovan and Ken. Episode number 451, recorded April 27th, 2025.
And today we're covering the last two issues before Lore War starts. So this is
Lore War.
Star Trek 30 and Defiant 25.
Right. So these could actually be the last issues?
Yep.
Period?
Of these two
ongoing or maybe long limited series, you know, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. Well, aside from the Lore War tie-in issues.
Well, I know that, but that's a different comic, right? Lore War. Just like Day of Blood.
It's Star Trek 31 is Lore War number
2. Okay. So you're answering my question. Okay.
Yep.
So these are not the last ones. They're still spreading the story out amongst the two ongoing series. Okay, fine.
Yeah, for the next couple issues.
Okay.
And then it's over. And then the two ongoings are over and we'll get something new, I hope.
There you go. Well, didn't they? I thought I had read an article where some of the new ongoings were talked about. I mean, we definitely have Lower Decks. So we've got that ongoing. But then I thought there was at least one or two others.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a Strange New Worlds.
Okay. Oh, but that's a limited one again. That's
right,
not an ongoing,
so.
Is it? Yeah, another limited run one. Okay.
Yeah, I haven't heard of another ongoing other than Lower Decks continuing.
Okay, well, I thought they had mentioned that, but I could be mistaken.
Well,
Hey, I'm fine
anything,
with it.
Let me know.
I'm fine with the short run ones as long as they keep them coming.
Oh, there's going to be a mini series of Red Shirts.
Oh.
And then a Voyager mini series. So we're getting a lot more mini series, but I haven't heard of an ongoing
other than Lower Decks. Okay.
Lower Decks, yeah.
So Red Shirts, that should be interesting.
Yeah, Red Shirts.
Red Shirts.
Yeah, then the Voyager one is called Homecoming, which is them, I guess, how they reacclimate to being part of the Federation.
Oh, well, that might be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we only saw snippets of that.
Right, yeah. So, and then it'll end with B'Elanna and Paris joining these two crews and going off with Worf and Sisko.
I'm going to guess no, but who knows? I mean, it is IDW Comics, so they could tie that in. I don't know. Or maybe they'll show Chakotay getting... Or that was further in the... No, that was when Chakotay went in the Prodigy ship.
The Prometheus. Or no, Prodigy. Yeah.
The Prodigy ship, right. Okay. Okay, but that's in the future. Let's talk about the present. So, are there anything other things to mention, or should we just jump right into Star Trek 2022 issue 30?
Yeah, we could jump into it, but both of these issues really feel like a Lore War issue zero. They won't really have anything to tie into the ongoing stories that have been going on, even though they're called When the Walls Fell number 6 and whatever the Defiant one is. Right? I mean, they act like it's a continuation of those stories, but they really not. They're really kind of doing their own thing, and it's really just to set up Lore War. So it's a little weird.
Yeah. And no
issues.
No Old Warriors Part 4 is a Defiant one.
Right.
Yeah, so they're transition stories teeing up Lore War, but you're right. It's a lot more about Lore War than it is about what was going on just prior to issues 29 and 24.
Yeah. Spoiler, the storyline that's been going on in No Old Warriors that actually carries over into this is literally like one page. And it's just like, this is what happened. This is what happened off screen. It is ridiculous. Why? I don't know why they did that. I will talk about that in a minute.
They
Yeah.
did jump. They did jump. They could have had a lot more story there with the whole O'Brien, B'Elanna, etc. thing, and they
Right.
did, than just jumping forward in time. But
Right.
when they
So, anyways.
storyboard these things out, they all have to dovetail with each other. I guess they just had to make it short.
Right. I do wonder if that's what it is, because usually they're about 6 issues long for each miniseries or each story arc, and this one's only
Storyline.
four, so they are like having to take out a bunch.
Don't.
Who knows? Who knows? All right. Well, you want to jump into 30 and we'll see if we like that one.
No spoilers, eh, Donovan? Okay. So issue 30 is part six of When the Walls Fell. Published date March 2025. Writer, as always, Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing. Artist, Travis Mercer. Colorist, Lee Lowridge. Letterer, Clayton Cowles. Design and production by Neil Yataki. Group editor, Heather Antos. And editorial assistant, Cassandra Jones. Three covers. Cover A presents the back of Kalis as he walks to the exit of the large red hall he is in. On the floor behind him is his Bat'leth, feeling lonesome already. Art is by Ramon Rosanas and colors by Lee Lowridge. Cover B features Kalis heroically fighting with his trusty Bat'leth through what kind of looks like a snowstorm. There's a building in the background on top of a mountain, and that's probably the monastery at Bor'Rath, but I don't know for sure. And the art is by Travis Mercer, and the colors by Lee Lowridge. It looks very action-packed and stoic. And that cover depicts Kalis as being a relatively young man. I mean, not overly young. He's probably middle-aged tops. Maybe 30s, 40s equivalent in a human. The retailer incentive cover presents a very old Kalis with long gray hair and holding his trusty Bat'leth. In the background is the silhouette of a humanoid, likely Lore, but who knows, maybe Sisko? Probably Lore. Art by Jake Bartok, because of course the humanoid silhouette is dark, so you can't really tell, but I think it's Lore. The disgraced Kalis, having left his filthy existence in Beta Thoridor and near-death encounter with Worf and Alexander, walks through snow and the bones of rotting buildings. He forges a very rough and primitive Bat'leth using a hand welder. A voice is speaking to him, telling him of potential absolution via punishment, valor, and vengeance. Honor could be restored. He finally spots his destination, the monastery at Bor'Rath. That's on a different planet, by the way. He enters and asks the monks to take him through the Quav Rite. The Quav Rite's three errands, the errand of punishment. You get the crap beat out of you at the hands of people you disgraced without fighting back or fleeing or asking to die. You could die on this errand. The errand of valor. You do a good deed by saving the helpless, even if you end up dying. Again, you might die. And finally, the errand of vengeance. You use your bladed weapon on another person who purposely stopped following the path of Kalis. As you shed the other person's blood with your blade, that honorless person's spirit will drink deep of honor's ocean. Okay, just a little reminder of what that is. They turn their back on him, only saying it's too late. The time crystals have long shown the monks this moment. Rest, Kalis. It is too late for restoration. A bright amber light comes down and sweeps across the land, destroying mountains, monks, and clones. Kalis does not immediately die like the monks, as he tumbles through the suspended rubble as if in the eye of a tornado. He is burned down to the bone eventually. And then he is reborn, with the Cisco watching him as he tumbles to the surface of a planet. He is whole again. At first, he does not know where he is, but then he recognizes he is home, but in the distant past, the home and time of the original Kalos, when he killed the tyrant Molor. Kalos makes his way to Molor's Grand Keep and fights his way through many guards. He enters Molor's throne room and finds the original Kalos, not Molor. The original Kalos rises from his throne and says the memory of Molor is misremembered. The clone realizes it was Kalos all along, not Molor, who was the brutal tyrant that brought together the Klingon tribes through the blood of many innocents. The original Kalos stands and attacks his clone with a much finer Batleth. The fight goes on, and many fine words are exchanged. The clone's Batleth breaks in half, but the move that caused the blade's failure is mighty enough to knock the original Kalos's Batleth far away from the tyrant. Before the original Kalos dies, he tells the clone he found his Batleth. He did not forge it out of this volcanic mountain's lava. The clone now stands alone and decides to make at least one thing about his legend true. He takes his broken Batleth, and in the lava of the volcanic mountain, he forges a new Batleth from the old. The Kalos clone is now truly Kalos, the legend complete. With Batleth made from the fire of a volcano. The cooling Batleth begins to arc with power, and before Kalos can capture his breath, his location shifts into space above a stellar nursery, with the Cisco, blue and made of energy, speaks the word honor at the same time the Kalos clone does. The Cisco tells Kalos, long ago, Kalos sought to kill gods, and Cisco stood in his way. Cisco touches the Batleth and imbues it with power. The universe has fallen, and only one honorless god remains. Kalos is transformed and deposited into the new universe made by a mad android with the power of a god. The voice of Cisco says to Kalos, together, they will become unforgettable and kill a god. To be continued in Lore War number one.
So the power sword.
The Sword of Power. Yes, the Batleth of Power.
So Sisko just imbued it with the power, or is that power
Well,
supposed to be symbolic?
I think he actually imbued it with power, the power of the prophets somehow.
Right, because he said somehow he says like something like he can't come over, but he can give him the he could put his essence in the sword or something. I don't know. I was a little
Give him.
confused.
Yeah, well, he's given it magic, so whatever Kalos needs it to do in the future, I'm sure it will do just fine. Yeah, so for whatever reason, the demigod Sisko can't go into Lore's new universe. And Kalos is going to be his agent.
Right. Think he could have picked a better agent.
Why Kalos? I mean, is it because Kalos is that desperate to regain his honor? Anyway,
He thinks he is a god, or did think he was a god,
oh, the
or
clone
is
thought
a
he was a
clone
god.
of a real god? I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I
Well,
don't know.
I think he knows now, especially after seeing the truth that Molor was a fiction, that the original Kalos was built up to be almost a demigod in his memory, but really he was just a man. And
And again, we don't know if this is real. This could just be the vision that Sisko's showing him, or the vision that he's seeing from, if he really went to Bor-Eth, maybe this is a time crystal hallucination. I don't know.
yeah, well,
I never felt like
it's
he was
all.
really talking to the real Kalis. It's no matter what, I think it's a vision either in his head or Sisko's giving it to him, or
Right.
the time crystals are giving it to him.
Yeah. Well, another thing is in the book, it refers to this revelation of Molor actually being Kalis as being something that was done in a previous comic book. A comic book they referred to as Klingons or something. And I went back trying to find that. I mean, there's an alien spotlight called Klingons, and it is back in that time period, but it doesn't say anything about Molor actually being Kalis. So yes, I do agree that this whole thing could just be a vision. But this book was saying that this was something that was covered in a previous comic. Do you know which comic that is?
Yeah, it said Star Trek Klingons.
Yeah, it says Star Trek Klingons. And it's like Star Trek Klingons. I know of Alien Spotlight Klingons. Do you know, is that's not that one? It's a different one?
I don't know. I assumed it was the
I don't
Alien
know.
Spotlight one, but I didn't go back and look.
Well, I went back and looked. And I didn't see anything about Molor. Anyway.
Well,
Okay, whatever.
okay, I know what it is. There is a it's a called Star Trek Klingons. It came out in 20, is that 2012? 2022.
Okay. And that's not
2022.
Alien Spotlight. That's a different
No,
one.
it's a different one.
Okay, so I didn't know where that was. I mean, obviously we went over it at some point because we did
Right.
every comic book published. I just don't
You
remember that
know what
one.
it is. It's the one that actually shows the fight over the volcano with the three bridges,
Oh,
with
the
those
Three
like,
Bridges. Okay, I remember that.
yeah.
But
It's
I don't
that's it.
remember. But there was Kalis there. And he had the pig dog, whatever they call those things, in his backpack and everything. And right? I mean, okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
But I think it's supposed to be. They don't ever call him Kalis. So I think when we did the, oh no, he says that he's Molor, Warlord of the Shadows. So yeah, no, it says that's who it is.
Oh, it did? Okay. At the okay, yeah. Well,
Yeah,
I don't.
when he's fighting, he actually says it out loud. He's screaming, "Molor, Warlord of the Shadows. Do you see what
So he
I've
changed his
done?"
name. Okay. So I don't remember that. Now that you mention it to me, I definitely remember that because it was pretty cool. There were the three buildings over the volcano, and then there were the platforms that came out of each of the three buildings
And it looked
that
like
connected.
the logo, like the
Right,
Klingon logo.
exactly. There you go. And then the big fight was on that, and everything was ridiculous, but whatever. Okay, so at the end of that issue, he calls himself Molord, not
Or no,
Kalis.
he's or maybe
Okay.
he's talking to Molor. Maybe that's because
So
after he says that,
Molor
he gets attacked by a
was.
spacecraft. I don't know. I don't remember this issue very well.
Okay, that's fine. Let's move on. I mean, the main point is, I guess the realization that they're trying to make that Kalis was actually Molor, and he means he was dishonorable. The original Kalis was dishonorable. And now even more so, Kalis is fighting, the Kalis clone is fighting
Right.
for his honor. Okay, fine. Whatever. Anyway, but doesn't he look young and virile?
He does.
And what did he look like the last time we saw him?
Old and withered.
A old, withered, gray as heck, and eating brats. So,
So
anyway.
we covered that Klingon issue back in episode 366, if you want to go back and listen to that one.
Oh, okay. There you go.
100 episodes ago.
Right.
Wow.
Interesting.
So
Okay.
So yeah, so he's all young again. That's why I really think this is somehow just all in his head.
Well, okay, but at the end of the issue, I guess I didn't say it in the I guess I didn't say it in the synopsis, but I mean he's actually in he's on a planet and there's big skyscrapers and there's Laura's picture all around.
Right.
So
Yeah, it looks
he's
like he's like
in
in Manhattan with a
exactly.
futuristic Manhattan with giant TV screens of Laura's face on it.
Yeah, holograms or whatever they are on the buildings. And
Right.
yeah, so he's there. He's physically there, and if you look at him, he looks like he's young again. I mean, he's all dirty and stuff and tattered cape and everything.
With
But
electric powers.
with electric powers. Yeah. Anyway, so he's young. So Kalis, the clone, is going to be as old or young as the story needs him to be.
Right.
So there's another bit of unreality or inconsistency, which is hard not to notice, but fine. That's fine.
Well, when you're given the power of a god and a Batleth, it de-ages you some. I mean, I think
Okay, well,
that's
he
deity
was.
101. I can't believe you don't know that.
He was de-aged before Sisko touched his Batleth.
That was because it was a dream. That
Okay,
was the
fine,
vision.
fine.
And of course, when you're thinking of yourself, don't you always think of yourself as young and not
Not
old
old as
man?
you really
Yeah.
are.
Right.
Well, I think you're right about that because you have an internal vision of yourself, and I know I am a lot lighter and younger in my mind.
Right. And then when I look in a mirror, I'm like, who's that gray guy? Oh,
Oh
it's
my
me.
gosh. Oh, who let himself go? Dang. Okay. Okay, so Sisko can't go, but he's got Kalis there as his agent, a stranger in a strange land, and now Kalis is going to have to figure out how to get the job done. Or is Sisko going to be whispering in his ear the whole time?
Right. Or from the sword. The sword's going to talk to him.
Oh, there you go. Oh, yeah. So that's his radio as well as his weapon
Maybe.
to smite
Maybe.
whoever needs smiting. Okay. Cool. Okay, so go ahead.
I was just going to say the whole like him making the Batleth thing. I know that they've mentioned that in Star Trek. There was a book called Kalis, which I know is not canon anymore, or maybe never was. But it was Michael Jan Friedman wrote it, and it had the big reveal that the hair that they used to clone the clone Kalis was actually from Kalis's brother and not Kalis himself. So
Oh.
in that book, you find out that oh, it was actually Kalis's brother that did all this stuff, but Kalis is the one that gets credit for it, kind of thing.
Oh.
So when I
Okay.
was reading this, I kept remembering that book, thinking like that was from another issue, and then I'd have to remind myself, oh wait, that doesn't count anymore because that's that was
Book.
yeah that was a what is it C canon or whatever, where it's just like eh.
Oh, right. Okay. It
So,
wasn't
anyways,
video, so it doesn't count.
exactly.
Yeah.
But anyways, I like that. I like the whole idea of that you don't know whose hair was actually cloned, and you get the
And how
same
much does it
comments about
matter?
the Shroud of Turin and stuff like that. You know, people are like, "Ah, that's not really Jesus's face in there or whatever." But so I always kind of like that mystery, religious
Yeah.
mystery kind of thing going.
Right. And in the end, a lot of this stuff is just used to, to inspire people to be better. So as long as it carries out that purpose, then maybe it doesn't matter
Unless you
what
start
history
cloning
really
people.
was.
If they use the shroud to then clone Jesus, then we're gonna have problems.
Oh, I mean, did they actually find any kind of residue on the shroud that is biological? Did
Yeah,
were
I think
they?
they have confirmed what blood type it is that's on there.
Oh, okay. Well, if they can figure out the blood type, I
Yeah.
wonder if there is any DNA snatches that they could use.
Yeah.
I'm gonna think not, but.
But anyways, interesting.
Jurassic Jesus. No.
Yeah, don't give them any
Oh,
ideas. It'll
no.
be
Da, da,
at the next one.
da, 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 da.
So I did like how the bird of prey that's floating above the castle or whatever is
Oh, yeah.
reminiscent of the bird of prey and Day of Blood. So maybe that's where this clone got the idea from. Because remember,
Oh, got it.
they kept
Right.
showing that bird of prey, his bird of prey above the tower there
Right.
in Day of Blood.
Yeah.
And so here it is, the quote unquote original Kayla's doing the same thing.
Right. And that bird of prey, which quite frankly kind of looks, I don't know, to me, it almost looks a little bit more like a D7. Seems a bit advanced for those old days.
Right. Yeah, I didn't even think they had warp drive back in Kayla's time, which again drives home
Well,
the idea that this is not real.
yeah. And that ship doesn't necessarily have warp drive, but it looks, I don't know, it
Looks like it
looks
does.
pretty advanced.
Yeah.
It's got two engines on both sides,
It's
whether
got
they're warp
anti-grav.
nacelles or not. Antigrav?
Well, I
Okay.
mean, it's floating and not using some sort
Oh,
of
yeah.
jet propulsion.
Okay, good point. Good point. If it was a more if it was a older ship, it might not be able to just hover like that. Yeah,
Right.
good point.
Who knows? It's all fake.
Okay. Oh, thanks for letting me know. Okay.
I got to remind myself every once in a while. Oh, that's right. This is not real.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, the
No.
monastery at Boreth. So
Yeah,
was
I
the
like the call out, so
I do
but
too. Now, the monastery at Boreth, was that actually created for Strange New Worlds?
no.
Or when did it first pop up?
Star Trek:
In
The Next
TNG?
Generation. Yeah.
Okay, TNG.
So Worf
Okay.
is at Borath doing like a meditation thing when the clone
Oh, that's
suddenly
when the
shows up.
clone came up. Because
Exactly.
it was the monks at Boreth that cloned him.
Exactly.
Oh, right, right,
Now,
right,
they
right.
didn't mention time crystals there until
Right.
Strange New
Strange
Worlds.
New World.
Or actually, I
Okay.
guess that was a Discovery season two.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was Pike. That's
Yeah,
why we
definitely
keep that's why
Pike.
we keep saying Strange New Worlds, but technically it was
Yeah.
Discovery.
There you go. Okay. Well, I keep saying it anyway. Anyway, cool. Yeah. But I didn't realize that Borath was the only structure on that planet.
Right.
I mean, quite frankly, if you potentially have the power of being able to see the future, and all you got to go is to this one planet where they got a bunch of monks, and that's it, one building, and you can get your hands on these time crystals and see the future. I'm surprised no Klingon, some dishonorable Klingons did not try to grab some time crystals before,
Yeah,
but
definitely sounds like something the Dumas would do.
oh, Duras.
Yeah,
Duras?
Duras. Yeah,
There you
Duras. That
go.
was him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were without honor.
Exactly. Big time.
All of them.
Killing Worf's honey. It's terrible. Deserve to die. Do the job, Worf. Do the job. Loved it when he dropped his comm badge in his quarters and went and did the job. Okay, that's all I have to say about this one.
Anything else? Yep, same. I'm good.
Cool.
Let's move on then.
To Defiant 25.
All right, so next up is Star Trek Defiant, issue number 25. This came out March 2025. Written by Christopher Cantwell, artist by Angel Unzeta, colorist by Marissa Louise, letterer Clayton Cowles, design and production Neil Yutaki, group editor Heather Antos, editorial assist by Cassandra Jones. And there are three covers there on the back. Cover A is by Angel Unzeta, showing B'Elanna, and then behind her we see Nymeera, which is the dead Orion woman from earlier issues. We see Ro, and then we see O'Brien in like a karate pose or something, and they're all standing above a Defiant that's like swooshing towards the reader. Cover B is by Lauren Knight, and it shows the Orion Nymeera like jumping through a time portal or something. And then the retail incentive cover, which is the samurai cover, is by Takashi Okazaka. And it shows, a very muscular black and white picture of Worf wearing what looks like a cross of samurai armor and Klingon armor, holding a batleth, and he's like staring you down. So, real quick, the story starts in the blurb system, which we've never heard of before. Guess it's some kind of backwater system. And we find that the time traveling Rasmutan, aka Moloch from Watchmen and Max Headroom, and the Orion Doctor Nymeera, they did not actually die on that bug infested Space Station 99. Rasmutan used some sort of time portal and was able to save Nymeera at the very last second. This robs her of her hero's death, but it does save her life nonetheless. So now they're using their time hopping from system to system and conning the locals with old-fashioned Western snake oil. So they arrive at a market. They announce that everybody's now infected with the Worf disease, and then they sell them the cure at a tidy profit. After a few systems of doing this, the word of mouth catches up with them, and they have to hightail it out of the last system. As they are leaving, the planets and star systems start to kind of merge into this colorful goo. Rasmutan, who, even though he's from the past, is actually in the 98th percentile of intelligence, is able to actually work out what all this is, and he configures the shields to compensate. Nymeera plots a navigation lock on the Defiant, and with a combination of the goo and the shields, this causes the ship to fly across the universe at just slightly lower than salamander setting. So they're going at warp 9.999999. So, meanwhile, the horrible B plot from the last few issues is resolved off screen. So, we find out that O'Brien and Ro were able to overtake the Section 31 captain and the Cardassian commander in the swamp. Nymeera's ship suddenly shows up and she tries to tell them about what's happening. But before she can get too far into it, the goo light show starts to overtake both ships. Rasmutan's shields are going to be able to protect them, but it's unclear if it will also cover the Defiant as well. To be continued in Lore War number one.
Lore War.
It's fun to say, isn't it?
Oh, it's great. It's like poetry. It's great. Okay, well, I gotta say, when we saw last time that she was gonna be back, Nymeera, our little Orion field medic. It was like, what kind of BS is this? I know I was not happy. I mean, nobody can die. I mean, is nothing, are there no stakes in anything? But I'll admit that they did a pretty good job of showing how she survived.
And I think I feel the opposite. I kind of think
Oh,
it's kind
really?
of, yeah, I didn't like it.
Well, what
She died.
we totally lost track of Rasmussen, right?
That is
So
true.
So he was there, but we never saw what happened to him. So he's a free agent. He's a loose cannon. He's like somebody you weren't even thinking of. And the idea that he was able to run up to her, and by the way, you mentioned something about a portal or something, or a portal that
Yeah,
he did. That wasn't his portal. That was
that was
the
the dimensional porter
right.
that Spock
That's
took
how she
over.
got in.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's how she got in there with the trilithium bomb or whatever it
But I thought
was.
she had to stay in there for it to actually explode. So
Well, okay, so good point. Good point.
that was the whole
But
reason why Worf
why
and
she was there.
Spock left her, right?
Right. So
And
that is a
they had
good
just
point.
gone through the portal, so how did they not see Rasmutin go in and out with her?
Well, that's an excellent point, because that's something I was wondering about too. Let's say that they didn't see him go in. She's gonna be there, and the first thing she's gonna do is try to find Worf and everybody. And they didn't leave that fast, did they?
No.
No. So I do agree with some of the downsides of it, but the idea that Rasmussen, who was a wild card in all of this, or in the previous storyline, was able to grab her and pull her out. I thought that was at least decently plausible, but you do bring a good point about somebody having to manually trigger the bomb.
Right. And that's why I thought, well, maybe it was some sort of timey-wimey shenanigans that he's able to do, but he doesn't really have. He had that spaceship, right? He had a time ship.
Yeah, he
And
was
that
able
was
to do
it,
some
right? That was like.
timey-wimey stuff, but he didn't have any of that technology with him.
Right. When they captured him and took him to the starbase.
Right.
So, yeah. And I don't remember Picard saying that he was in the 98th
That
intellectual percentile.
is totally, that's total retconning.
Right, okay.
But they did it in a way that's like they never mentioned it. So yeah, they never mentioned that, but it seemed a little bit forced how they were showing you all these like captain's log where, they say they checked Rasmussen out and they gave him an intelligence test, which is kind of odd. Would you really be doing that? But whatever. But they had to do something, because when they're inside the Peregrine fighter, love those fighters, by the way.
Is that from
And
Nemesis? The Romulan ships from Nemesis?
no. Nope. That's a Federation. Okay, so I looked these things up because I've got one of them from Eagle Moss. So it's a Peregrine fighter. It's presented as a fighter. But then when I looked it up on memory, alpha, beta, whatever it was, it said that originally it was a courier ship. So it's a warp. It's a warped, warp enabled, very fast, small ship. So it's smaller than a runabout, but it's still bigger than what you would think, you would have in a fighter. But so according to the article on Memory Alpha, it was saying originally a courier ship, but then during the Dominion War they had repurposed them as fighters, small fighters, and they did have them during the Dominion War fights. I mean, you did see them.
So that's where we saw him in the show.
Right, exactly. So I guess they went from being a courier to be more of a fighter kind of use during wartime, but normally they're courier ships.
Gotcha.
Which I don't know what you need courier ships for when you have subspace radio, but whatever.
I will say there's a few
Anywho,
times
I
where it
do
kind
like
of
them.
looked like the Defiant. So,
Oh.
I mean, I'm just saying that it was. I kind of thought the. I hadn't. I did. I don't remember seeing this ship before. So, for me, it was kind of a new ship, and I was like, it kind of looks like a Defiant. So, I'll buy in that it's a Federation ship.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say that I don't remember this perfectly, but there was a game where you play a fighter pilot and Worf is training you.
Yeah, that is oh my goodness, I forgot what it is. Yeah,
I forgot the
that
name too. But
I used to play
yeah.
that a lot.
Well, do you. I thought that that's the first place I saw the Peregrine. Because I think the fighter that you were flying is at least similar to the Peregrine. If it isn't exactly the same thing, it's similar.
Yeah, but it's like
Do you
really
remember that at
small.
all?
Yeah, but it's like really small, 'cause
I agree.
the company
I
that
agree.
made that game got famous because they made a game called Colony Wars, which was, just a fighter type game, and then they just basically reskinned that to be Star Trek: The Next Generation.
I agree, but in the game, well, in this thing, it seemed like there was more room inside of the fighter, the Peregrine, than
Right.
I ever thought it had.
Yeah, no, this looks like a roomy ship. I mean, it has a toilet, which they keep going to.
Yes, indeed they do. So it looks like it's somewhere between like a shuttle, typical shuttle, and a runabout, somewhere between.
Yeah. It's about the size of the Defiant's little nose thing, which isn't really the
Oh.
bridge, but looks like
Oh,
it
the
could be the
nose
bridge.
thing? Oh. Oh, the thing that's actually a warhead of some kind, as well as being the deflector shield?
But it looks like a bridge on a normal. It looks like it should be the cockpit of a ship, but it's not. So yeah, looking at them side by side, in that panel, it looks like it's that whole ship's about the size of that protuberance thing.
You mean the Defiance proboscis?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know that those were supposed to or could potentially be from that game. What was the name of that game?
I don't remember, but I remember it being really difficult,
Oh,
and
so
I
hard.
stopped playing. I after a couple times trying, it was like, I lost interest.
Yeah, no. And then I think it was like really stingy on the saves. So you would get so far, then die, and then you'd have to go back so far. And after doing that a couple of times, and when I say a couple of times, I mean like, days and days and days. I think I finally like, maybe this game's not for me.
Okay, so you have more patience than I do. I did not invest that much time. Anyway, so whatever, it doesn't matter. It's a fighter. It's somewhere between a fighter and a courier ship. And anyway, so it's cool. It's cool that they've got that. But if they're going to be doing, okay, so two things. Number one, if you're going to be flying around between planets and stuff, I think I would want a bigger shuttle than a fighter. I mean, what do I need a fighter for? I mean, going fast? Okay, good. It's good that you can go fast. But don't they have transponders in these ships? I mean, they were able to low they were able to zoom in on the Defiant, right?
Yeah, that's in the that's in that's on the other side of the wormhole, which I thought that was a little odd that she was able to hone in on it like that.
Other side of the wormhole. So they were in the
What is it?
G, the G sector, or the
The
G,
gamma quadrant?
the gamma quadrant. They were in the
Yeah.
gamma quadrant? Okay. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, 'cause that's where that planet was that was being mined still. That they had to go. Yeah, it's the horrible B plot that is so stupid that they kind of set up, but then they didn't really ever do anything with it. It was just like a page in every issue, and it was just like, oh, here's what's happening off screen. I this so that was poorly done, I think. There was a story there, but it they did not tell it.
So let's talk about that. I just want to wrap up saying, don't you think that the Federation would have been able to find that Peregrine fighter? I mean, they'd be looking for it,
Well, no, because he's
which
so
is like the
smart, he's
last thing
able
you would
to
want.
turn the transponder off. Because he's just that smart. He is just that smart.
Yeah, but he isn't. He's kind of a Gilligan for most of the issue, until he has to be the techno guy that would normally do the Spock thing or the Data thing to be able to explain this strange universe killing thing that's coming after them and how to reprogram the shields or whatever. It's like, who the heck's gonna know that? I mean, at least they didn't show Namira that she knew all that. There's no reason for her to know that. So it's a bit of a stretch that Rasmussen is all of a sudden, doctor, and he can figure out science stuff as well as an engineer who can put them into application and reprogramming the shields, whatever. Okay, fine.
So he's able to do all that. She's able to lock on to a ship on the other side of the galaxy. And then, thanks to his shields and the magic goo or whatever, they're able to transverse all that space and time fast enough to warn them.
Exactly. And then they all go into what looks like the Bajoran
It did look like the Bajoran
wormhole. It's like, shouldn't they have made it look a little different since it's what's his face's Lore's planet killing thing? Anyway,
wormhole.
whatever.
And why
Or
did they keep
universe
saying it
killing.
looked like goo? And then here at the end, it just looks like light with like tentacles and
Yeah.
stuff. So just seems inconsistent.
Right. Tentacles. Yes.
It does. I mean, on that
Yeah,
last one, it looks like it's
it
like,
looks like tentacles of light.
yeah, that's pulling the Defiant in.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And then the
So the other,
Peregrine is going in backwards.
yeah, but at least it has the magic shields. It's going to be okay.
Right. Okay, so the big thing is where you know these people are going to pop up in the new lore universe, right?
Right.
They got to. But what are they going to be themselves? Or are they okay. Should we say the spoiler? Because you and I both have taken a quick look at the first issue of Lore War. Or should we not say anything about that?
It's up to you. I don't remember it, so
Okay,
whatever you remember is more than I do.
so the main point I want to say is many of our heroes from our existing universe or reality exist in the lore remade reality, but it's like in a different dimension. They're a little different. It's kind of like Mirror Mirror. So they're not necessarily evil, but they are different. They've got different clothes on, they've got a different look to them in general. And a lot of very interesting characters pop up in the first issue of Lore War. So, if there are alternate versions, probably of B'Elanna and O'Brien and Namira in this remade universe, then what are these people going to be? Are they going to be themselves? Are they going to meet themselves? the alternate version of them? I don't know what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, I don't even remember that much of when I thumbed through it a couple weeks ago, so
Yeah, well,
I don't know.
that's as much as I'm going to say. I don't want to spoil things too much. Yeah,
Well, we'll find out
does
next
that
week.
almost look like the wormhole because maybe Sisko's intervening somehow and snatching them?
Maybe, but he. I
Because I
mean,
mean, everything else in this universe is being destroyed, right? Nothing's being carried forward except that apparently Sisko was able to do that with Kalus, the Kalus clone. So is this again Sisko intervening and saving these guys by
or is it
sucking them into?
Rasmutin's powers or whatever his shields?
I doubt it. Okay, well, we'll
And
see.
if he's that smart to figure it out, I mean, okay, he's 98th percentile. That means that there's still 2%,
That's smarter.
3% that's as smart as him, right? So,
Yeah.
if he can build a shield that fast to save him, then you would think that 3% of the universe could also save themselves.
Oh, ha, good point. Okay.
So maybe,
There's more
I don't
people.
know.
I wouldn't count on that. But
I wouldn't
yes,
count on it either.
what you're saying makes sense, but okay.
So, I did cut out all of the bathroom humor in this issue when I did the synopsis, but
Oh.
there is an abnormally amount large amount of toilet humor in this story. So the cure of Worf's disease gives everybody dysentery, including Rasmussen, who spends a lot of the time on the ship in the bathroom, and she's always trying to get back in.
Yeah. It's like siblings at the house.
Right.
Trying to both use the single toilet that they have to share.
Yeah. And she actually calls it a bathroom, which I thought was funny because I don't think they've never mentioned that there's a bath in there.
I'm sure the most that they've got in there is a sonic shower, if even that.
Right. So do they have sonic toilets?
I don't know. I don't know.
I did think it was funny. We just recently watched Andor season one, and they actually say toilet in the show. And I told my wife, I was like, I think that's the first time in the Star Wars universe they called it a toilet. Usually they call it a refresher in like the
Oh.
books and comics and stuff like that. And then in
Okay.
Skeleton Crew, which we also just recently watched, they refer to it as a refresher. So I thought it was, and I think those are the only two times in live action they've ever referred to the bathroom as Namara calls it. Just seems weird. Just
Well,
that's...
I mean, they do their best. Star Trek traditionally does their best not to ever acknowledge defecation or urination. No
Well,
one
thank goodness.
ever
Nobody
does
wants to hear
anything.
about that.
Well, okay, fine, but they wanted to have some humor going here, so they did. They
Right.
went there. They went there. Anyway.
There was a good Doctor Who book. This is my last side. But like the Doctor and Rose show up. This is the Ninth Doctor story. And like she's like with some
Rolaren?
bureau. No, Rose, not
No,
Ro.
Rose, I'm sorry. I thought I
And
heard
she's with some
you
bureaucrat
say
or
Ro.
whatever. And she's trying to like buy some time. And she's like, oh, can I just pop off to the loo or something? And then he's like, and that was like his way of knowing that she was not from their planet because they now take a little pill or whatever that allows your body to absorb 100% of the nutrients that you can get.
That's the whole
And
point of doing that, to get rid of the
he
waste.
ends up giving her one, and then she's like thinking to herself, "It actually works."
Okay.
So, anyways, all right, enough toilet talk. I don't really have anything else about this issue. I wasn't blown away with either of the issues, so I don't have a lot to
No,
talk about.
not that much. I mean, it was a transition thing, right? You got to get everybody into the right place. I thought it was funny that that they called it Worf's disease. Okay, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Again, seeing the peregrine in this, it was like, oh my God, they've got a peregrine in here. And then I was
Which I
like,
did
when
not
I first,
catch.
well, it's a cool looking ship, especially that they had a really good drawing of it. So the artist did a really good job on it, that's one of the first things you see. You see them flying around the Peregrine. And it was like, wow, where did they get that? That doesn't make any sense. Where'd they get that? And then they explained they grabbed it from the starbase. It's like, okay, fine. Okay, fine. Namira, what the? Oh, how could Namira be there? Oh, okay. Okay, fine. And then, how'd they get a Peregrine? Okay. So they explained everything.
So you did a lot of grunting and yelling while you were
I
reading
did
yours.
while I was reading this. Oh yes, I was like not happy. I had to change my notes multiple times. I was ranting in my notes about the Peregrine. That's why I should always read the whole thing first and then write down notes.
Gotcha.
So cool ship. And then yeah, the whole idea. Okay, let me just say that in the swamp, the whole swamp thing, the way it was left off, there was like at least four Section 31 guys, and there was like a small troop of Cardassians, and everybody that was not the Section 31 captain and not the commander on the Cardassian side, apparently they all died because none of them show up. And then it's a three-way Mexican standoff, Tarantino style, between Miles and these other two guys. And it's like I'm saying, where the heck's Ro? Is Ro dead too? And then she's like off, partially submerged in the water, just letting, just standing by because B'Elanna's telling her to, and she's just gonna let Miles, fight and maybe die on these guys. And it's like, that doesn't sound very good.
Yeah, and that shot looks like Apocalypse Now. Like she's coming out of the
Yeah.
water, just riding
Oh
on.
yeah, exactly. That I did not make that connection, but you're right. She looks a little like Martin Sheen. So, but I guess in the end they explain again off camera that Roe did take out the Section 31 guy, I guess.
Right. Yeah, so
So.
somehow she was able to take them both out. And she said the
Ooh.
Cardassian. The
I thought the
Cardassian is
car.
leaving because he was defeated, right? He was defeated, so he's leaving.
Right. And I, yeah, I, so I thought, well, it doesn't matter. I thought Miles took the Cardassian out, but he couldn't take both of them out. So
She took out the other one.
Roe took the Section 31 guy out. Yeah.
Regardless,
Whatever.
it was all done off screen, and that whole storyline was just so filler.
Wasted.
Yeah.
It wasn't that great in the first place, but it was wasted.
No, and it started off good with the whole reason he's there is because O'Brien felt bad when he found out that his self-replicating minds were still in use,
Yeah.
and
And that took us way back to when he was training or teaching at Starfleet Academy.
right.
So, okay, that's
So,
it.
anyways, all right, and just real
Thought that was
quick,
funny.
that video game you're talking about, Star Trek Invasion, and they
Oh,
were.
Invasion.
Yeah, and those were Valkyrie class ships, those little ships.
Valkyries.
Yeah,
Okay.
and they are much smaller. They're like X-wing TIE fighter fight sized.
Well, they don't have X-wings. I mean, they
I'm
don't have
saying they're
X-wing
about that
shape, but
size,
they're
right?
that
It's just
small.
really
Okay.
a cockpit and nacelles. That's it. There's no
Okay.
toilet and living room area.
Exactly. Lounge, family room. Yeah. Okay.
Right. But they are
Got you.
cool looking ships, but yeah. Valkyrie class.
Valkyrie. Cool. Okay. Well, Donovan, what are we doing next time?
Well, next time we're going to do Lore War issue number one. And because we want to keep the Defiant and ongoing together, we're going to do Section 31. They had one issue of Section 31. We're gonna cover it along with Lore War number one. So basically two one shots. One based on, maybe the best Star Trek
The
movie they've ever made for TV,
exactly the
and the
most
other one.
successful made for TV movie ever.
No, it's the most successful Star Trek made for TV movie. If you word it that way, it's true.
Point. Good point. It
Oi.
wasn't good.
It was bad.
Yeah. And so they made a comic book, a one-shot comic book out of it. So
So
hopefully it's
maybe they'll
better.
redeem it, right? Maybe we'll get some
Maybe.
backstory that'll kind of redeem this some of the plot points that were a little rough in the actual episode.
Yes, let's hope.
I have looked through this one. It doesn't.
So the same writers that did the movie did the comic book. Okay, got it.
I don't know about that, but they're definitely not answering any of the questions I had from after watching the show.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, but the Lore War, that'll be nice.
Yes, we're finally getting into it.
So I'm either going to really like the Lore War crossover or really hate it. So just letting you know, if I'm like ranting and raving over the next few episodes, I must not be liking it.
Okay, well, hopefully it turns out good and they wrap this up and we can bid a fond farewell to Star Trek 2022 and Defiant ongoings with fondness.
Right. Hope so.
Okay. Okay then.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening, and we'll be back next week.
See you next time on the review.
Thank you for listening to Star Trek Comic Book Review. All Star Trek stories and characters are copyrighted CBS Studios Incorporated. All music, stories, and characters discussed are for entertainment purposes only. You can email us at startcomicbookreview@gmail.com. Visit us at our website, www.stcomicbookreview.com. comicbookreview.com, subscribe to us via iTunes, or friend us on Facebook at First Name ST Comic, Second Name Book Review. See you next time on Star Trek Comic Book Review.
Let's get the hell out of here.